Our reading this morning is from John's Gospel at chapter 20, and we read at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But they are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. Have you ever described someone as a ray of sunshine? Do you know anyone whose glass was always half empty? Well, this morning, in the week after Easter, we look at someone who has had the misfortune of having his story define him for 2,000 years. Peter denied Jesus 3 times before the cock crowed, but we do not refer to him as denying Peter, but poor Thomas, who only said what any of us might say is forever known as doubting Thomas. It does seem that this did reflect Thomas, though. We meet him when Jesus was in a remote area beyond the River Jordan, when news arrives that Lazarus was very ill. Now, as we know, Jesus waits another 2 days, and then when he says that they will go back to where he has nearly been seized, Thomas pipes up, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." And then we meet Thomas again just before Jesus is arrested to be crucified. We read words that many of us have heard many times. It's the passage when he says, "In my Father's house are many rooms." It's full of hope, but then Thomas chips in, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Sometimes as a minister, you can come forward with thinking you've got an idea that's good, that will develop the church. And then somebody tries hard to find the reason that it might fail. This seems to be the kind of characteristic that Thomas had too. So today, let's look and see what we can learn about Thomas. Firstly, when he saw Jesus, he was there. Now that sounds rather obvious, but remember, the reason we have this story is because when Jesus appeared to them again, Thomas was absent. So on this next Sunday after resurrection, Thomas was with them. He had his doubts, but he was there because the others had encouraged him to be there. And there's a message for us there too. We cannot save people ourselves, and we cannot bring them to faith ourselves. We trust the Holy Spirit to do these things. But it's still our job to seek out those who have not heard or understood the gospel. Now, a lot of the time this might seem a thankless task. We keep trying to bring people into church. We can run courses such as Christianity Explored. We could do Messy Church to find new ways of telling families that church is a safe and welcoming place for them. Yet for most of the time, it doesn't seem to make a difference. But we're called to do it, and we're called to always welcome people back. Let's remember that the apostles were so excited about seeing Jesus, they just wanted Thomas to see him for themselves. They didn't reprimand him for not having been there the first time round. You know, sometimes people would say to me, "If I go back, the roof might fall in." Well, it won't, and we need to keep a missional outlook in all we do. So the first thing is that the disciples encouraged Thomas to go back and be with them. They had a missional outlook. The second thing is that Thomas believed because he saw the proof. He was offered the chance to put his fingers into the holes in Jesus' hands. Jesus met Thomas at his level. It doesn't say that he actually had to place his fingers in those wounds to believe. He had enough evidence to believe when he simply saw the wounds for himself. Now think about that. He had enough evidence to believe when he saw the wounds for himself. The point here is that it was the wounds that Christ had. What he had done in suffering for us, that's what moved Thomas. And it's that understanding of what Jesus has suffered for us that should move us too. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, if only Jesus would come back now. It's not seeing Jesus that I need as proof. I believe because I understand the price that he paid for me. We can all have times when we doubt through some dark days. But the thing is that even though a preacher explains that Jesus was sinless and died to shed his blood to atone for our sins, what is really moving about it is not the actual death, but the way that he bore that pain for us. There is no one else who has done this, nor will there ever be. It's that knowledge that Jesus really loves me that much that moves us to faith where we can feel that we have a real relationship with Jesus as our greatest friend. It's not just some clinical understanding of needing to be saved and how we do that, because we're not saved in our thoughts, we're saved in our hearts. It's when we realise that Jesus loves us and wants us to have that close relationship with him that we begin to see our faith differently, that it becomes something that is not about obedience, about attending church every week, or trying to get there more often than not, and so on. It becomes a revelation that we can have this relationship with someone who, although we cannot see him the way Thomas was able to see him in that day, we just know he is alive and he knows us, that he loves us, and that through the Holy Spirit we can live our lives together with him, and indeed live each day as a daily offering. And the second point, the third point rather, is one that's never really occurred to me until I had it pointed out. We spend so much time on Thomas's doubt that we don't study what he says. Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Through the reading of the Gospels, the disciples ask themselves who Jesus is. We have the story where Jesus calms the storm, when they then ask, who is this man that even the wind and waves obey him? And then later, when Jesus walks in water, they say, truly you are the Son of God. In all these readings, the disciples go through stages of understanding more about who this Jesus figure is. Then now, in this passage, Thomas goes from being someone who doubted to the person who really grasps who Jesus is when he proclaims, my Lord and my God. Some of the disciples had referred to Jesus as Lord, but here, calling him God is new. So Thomas seems to get this before even Peter does. And then, of course, he owns it for himself, saying, my Lord and my God. And there's something for us here too, to help nudge us in our faith. We have an understanding of an all-powerful Creator God. And we know that he loved us and took upon himself the form of a man who was his son and died for us, for our sins. But here, we read of Thomas making clear that Jesus is both Lord and God. It sounds obvious, but sometimes people like to see, you know, they like to see the Jesus who died on the cross for them. But they don't move on in their faith and start looking to obey Jesus and see him as King and Lord of their lives. They're happy for Jesus to be Saviour, but they don't really want him to be Lord of their lives. I read something that summed this up. It said, Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we keep sinning and crucifying him again and again. Once we have realised that he is the Saviour, that he is the one who can save us, we really need to grasp this and make changes in our lives. We need to be able to live out our lives expressing what Thomas said, that Jesus was and is both the Lord, the one we seek to obey, and he's also God. So then, to close today, let's cover these three points again. The first one was that the first time they had seen Thomas, they've seen Jesus, Thomas wasn't there. And the disciples wanted Thomas to know for himself. The disciples were missional. They encouraged Thomas to be with them. And we're called to keep being missional, to tell other people the good news and bring other people towards finding out that wonderful saving message for themselves. The second thing is, you know, if you're a doubter, be assured that you're in good company. Thomas was a doubter. But Jesus comes to us. He calls us to go to him just as we are, with many a conflict and many a doubt. So if you're in doubt, take these doubts and hold them to one side and stop for a moment and think of his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, the wounds that Jesus bore to take our place, to pay our penalty for us, to assure us of that saved presence in heaven. And then finally, seek to live out your life as a daily offering. As the song says, our worship to the servant king. We see Jesus, as Thomas did, as Lord and God. He's not just our saviour, he's our Lord. And we ought to want to follow him and allow him to govern how we plan our lives and how we live them out as a witness, as a testimony to that wonderful act, that saving act that Jesus did for us. Amen.